live from the Third Coast. It is our time to focus on where genealogy and spirit connect. A time to focus on our connection with ourselves and our past. Here's your host, Susan E. King.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and I don't know about the rest of you, but I have been running around like a chicken with my head cut off. It seems like every time I try to go do something, I seem to leave things behind. It's really kind of an amazing thing when we get really busy like this and we just kind of lose touch with a lot of who we are and what we're doing. Went to the grocery store the other night and left my wallet at home and thought I was being just perfectly organized to get things done before I leave in the morning. So in any event, kind of appropriate that today's topic is called Pillars of Time, because in more cases than none, we seem to get lost sometimes in where we are and who we are. And we also sometimes lose touch with a lot of things that have to do with ourselves and the deeper meanings of who we are. And, you know, it's no different, too, from our ancestors. I mean, even though some of them didn't have, some of the overkill that we have with technology and things like that, that they simply, you know, had their own time issues. And it's really something I think that goes back to the beginnings of time. So I want to welcome our repeat guest, Angela Horn. We had a great time a couple of weeks ago and thought I'd bring her back, and we're going to do some readings. I think the call-in number is 888-815-9756. And let's find out exactly what pillars of time mean in Angela's semantics. Welcome.
Hi, Susan. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And you?
Awesome. Just really awesome. Thank you for having me back. It's such a thrill to be here again.
I love having you.
Thank you. The sorry to hear about your wallet situation.
At least I didn't lose it, you know.
I know, but that is so frustrating, isn't it?
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
So go ahead.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Pillars of Time and what that means to us and some of the things that you do and the type of work that you do that really helps people attach to these kinds of things.
Sure. Pillars of Time is something I've been working on for a little while now, and more clients seem to be showing up with kind of like a time loss or like a block, or they just can't seem to remember a certain time frame of their life. And using the Pillars of Time, it's kind of like a doorway that I can take a client through where they can it's through a regression, but it's where they're able to walk through a certain period in their life and actually view what's going on. So for what has been forgotten can then be restored. In saying all that, it's really about walking through time to recapture what it is that's been lost. So, for example, there was I had a client most recently through old belief systems had been shut down in parts of her life and in certain things that were going on, relationships and whatnot, and wasn't very happy and needed to retrack what she lost. And going through the Pillars of Time, whether it's physically in this lifetime, past life, or even future projection lives, we can retrack and retrace what we've lost.
You know, it's an interesting concept being a genealogist, because when we deal with clients and we're trying to go back and really pick up pieces of other people's lives, which, you know, in many cases is similar to what people are going to be doing generations from now on our lives, is, you know, we can pretty much tell what was going on in their lives through records. It's really quite an amazing concept if you can kind of step into it a little bit and not just pay attention to the dates and the places and the times, but, you know, really step into the people and who they were and how they lived and really bring them to life a whole lot more than normal. And I practice that in my practice all the time. And I always wondered about, you know, we talk about past life regressions and, you know, if how you relate that to genealogy. It kind of mesmerizes my mind a little bit. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No, I can see. Who's who? Where they come from? Are we repeating? Are we the same person we were a few generations ago? I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And it really kind of intrigues me a lot because it's just a concept that you know, when we apply it, we just have to sometimes wonder.
Oh, yeah, we wonder.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, going back and taking out a piece of time. You know, for example, in my life, there have been several blocks of time that I can remember that were a bit awkward. And even more recently, I think in some cases, there were some blocks of time where I got a little, how would we say this, off track.
Okay.
So when you do your work and you apply that kind of thing, it's basically, you know, really going in and taking a look at what was going on in our lives or in our hearts or in our souls or everywhere.
Yeah, I find a lot of people, you know, as they try to move forward right now, there's it seems like a lot of double talk or back talk. They're blocked by, like I said, a belief system or, you know, we grow up with so many different types of teachers in our lives, grandmothers, grandparents, generally, aunts, uncles, you know, friends of the family. We have our minister. We have numerous people that are always an influence. And if for some reason, you know, their life is not necessarily in line with what yours is, their piece of information or their information that they're giving you is more, you know, where they're guided, not so much where you're guided. And I'm finding that in saying certain things, there's a shutdown period where that part of the person is actually lost because what was going forward has just been told, no, that's not right. You can't do that. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I certainly do.
And that period of that time frame, that essence, that passion of where they're going or what they're doing or what their drive is, can be displaced. And that whole memory just goes somewhere else. It just gets put outside of them somewhere. So retracing that, going through the pillars of time is literally about walking through that door. And usually in a session, what I do is I pick up that time frame and we'll go there. We'll review what happened, with whom, how it happened, and then we actually take back that essence of life in which was lost.
And I would think, too, Angela, that as we progress into the holiday season, and well, I know you're in Canada, we start Thursday, or
Thanksgiving. Yes, Thanksgiving.
We start now. You know, we seem to be surrounded by some of the same people who, you know, cause some of these blocks. And it's not that we don't love them, and it's not that we aren't grateful for them, and it's not any of those things. It's just the energy levels that appear when we're around certain people sometimes that can really put a block on us. So this is really a time I would suspect that we kind of all get into that block mode.
Yes, the block mode. My block mode sometimes when I'm in crowds or people that just, I know I've been there too long, I'll get a little buzzy in the head or I start to feel bloated in some way, like I've taken on other people's energy, and I just know I need to exit. So whether it's, you know, just excusing myself, going to use the washroom, wash my hands, just, you know, drink some water, anything to get myself back to where I feel grounded. And then just eventually, you know, exiting altogether quietly and, you know, gracefully and saying, thank you very much. My time is up.
I know that I've done that too. And, you know, it was interesting. One of my colleagues was telling me about a situation that they had about a week ago. And, you know, it was really interesting. I mean, I left my wallet at home. But when they went into this restaurant, and evidently somebody she was with, they just got this awful feeling, mm-hmm. made a mad dash out the door, mm-hmm. and had to regroup, went in, and they were conducting some business at this restaurant, mm-hmm. and took care of business. And when she got in the car, she had no purse. And she, you know, obviously they found it a couple of days later. But, you know, it's these kinds of interruptions and things like that that you know, really do tend to cause havoc. I mean, it took all day to cancel credit cards and do all the things that one has to do when your purse is stolen or mm-hmm. missing in action. We're still not sure what happened to it, but, mm-hmm. You know, my sense is it was snatched off the back of her chair and you know, she just was so overwhelmed with this overwhelming feeling that she wasn't paying the kind of attention to details that we normally do. And that brings that, too, because I think in some of the work that you do with the Pillars of Time, it is part of when we lose the ability to deal with details, and we just get flustered and those kinds of things.
And a part of us starts to shut down. And my first advice would always be never leave your purse on the back of the chair. I always leave mine either on my lap or between my feet.
Right.
So that would, yeah, that's just a, you know, small piece of advice. But I'm finding more and more people are just not grounded, honestly. Everybody's fluttering around.
Oops.
Oh, we have guests.
Oh, we do.
They want to be a part.
Oh, here they go. Once they get started, I'm afraid they don't stop. But
oh, that's so much fun.
We have a little buzzer here that should stop them pretty quickly in their tracks.
They want to be a part of the show.
They want to be a part of everything.
That's cute.
They are so funny. They're little black. They're black and white Dalmatians. So they're pretty special little creatures and just absolutely gorgeous. So, but they do have loud mouths.
Ah, well, they want to speak their turn.
There you go. Anyway, Angela is available to do some readings or answer some questions. I want to give out the number again. It's 888-815-9756. So when we talk about past life regressions, which that's a little bit different than what you do with the Pillars of Time, or is that part of what you do?
The Pillars of Time, I can regress to a past life if it's part of what's earning in this lifetime. So if there is an attachment there, we can go back there very quickly and retrieve that part. Usually it pertains to the time that we've just gone through in this lifetime. I find also that there is, once we go through a Pillar of Time, once you're in there, there can be up to two or three time frames that will be knocking at the door, per se. If it means having to go back there, yes, I can. That's not a problem. We'll just go and get it and bring it forward. And usually there's a gift that comes of this as you get to meet your guide, your highest part of yourself in the session. And usually there's a gift that comes back to you, which it's always so significant and has so much meaning to, you know, parts of your purpose or the path that you're specifically on at this time, how it helps move you forward. And, you know, it's so enlightening, and I get shivers, and every time I do it, it just amazes me how much people just totally shift. It's like getting a piece of your life back. It's amazing.
It's something I think we can all use.
Oh, yeah. you know, I do my own work and I retrieve my own stuff, and it's really, really important. You know, you strive to be whole, and in any way, shape, or form that you can do that, the more that you're whole, the more that you give back to the universe. So, you know, there's so much contribution there.
So, you know, thinking out loud, Angela, I mean, if I was going to do something like this or wanted to do something like this on my own, if I feel that I'm comfortable, mm-hmm. You know, what kinds of things would you suggest that would be helpful to us? I mean, obviously, it's better for people to, you know, get some help on the front end, especially if you have to really dig very deep. But, you know, if you're, you know, practicing and you know, working in the area, I'd be interested. But I think we want to take a call on line 2 from Laura. How about that, Angela?
Oh, great. Perfect.
All right. Laura.
Hi, ladies. I'd love to have a reading.
Well, you've got one of the best. Angela, go for it.
Thanks. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Where are you from, my dear?
I'm from Michigan.
Michigan. Okay. Laura, the first thing I'm getting very strong, actually, is a grandmother on the other side that wishes to speak to you. Are you open to that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. For some reason, I'm getting something about a watch and timing. And her passing, was it a bad time?
We just expected her to live to be about 100, and she died way sooner than we had expected.
Yeah. She, it was unexpected for you. As far as the timing goes, you have a sister?
Yes.
Okay, and is she grieving this harder than you?
This has been a long time ago that my grandmother passed, and I'm most like her.
Okay, you're most like her. Well, it seems like your sister's more attached to her, even though you may be most like it. There's also something coming up around your father and some real heartfelt, difficult times around this. It seems like everybody really had a hard time getting over this.
Right.
Okay. I also have something very quickly coming up around job for you. Are you looking for something new or a change?
Yeah, I was searching for a job, and I thought I found my mission in life because they legalized marijuana in Michigan, and I started growing it, and they came and raided my house, and so I'm in a tither here as to what I should be doing, because they took my whole crop just before I was ready to harvest it.
Ah, okay. Is there something else that you want to be doing? Because I really felt like I was getting this finger at a no, this is not the right for you to be taking.
So don't go back to it then.
No, the universe has a strong way of doing certain things on for different people at different time frames, but they're saying you could get yourself into a little bit of trouble, and that's not your path, my dear.
Okay, because I was looking for the healing aspects of it, and I was going to come up with a really good healing salve out of it, but I also have interest in making jewelry with the healing gems.
Yeah, I'm getting the salve's great and everything, but it's not something for you to be harvesting and selling on your own. I'm feeling your creativity is definitely more towards, you do wire wrapping, do you?
Yes, yes.
Okay, do you also do some kind of journaling? I'm getting writing, that you need an outlet for writing. Are you into writing?
I hate writing, but I've been really doing some searching about what the truth is out there and trying to become free from all this oppression.
Okay, so I would and you're taking that in on a body level, aren't you? You're feeling some aches and pains in the upper back and lower back area?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, so here's my suggestion to you. Getting some of that out in doing wire wrapping is very creative. It's good for you. It also puts your mind to ease and rest, and you'll be able to sell it. Have you got a website up and running, or are you selling it on site?
No, I'm computer illiterate.
Okay, so are you doing craft shows?
No, I'm not doing anything. I need to set my jewelry room back up. It's all stacked in the basement, and I'm going to take it up to my bedroom and set it up and start working on it this winter or anytime soon.
Okay, so this weekend will be a good time to start wanting to do that.
So at least I know that I shouldn't pursue the cannabis anymore because I'm legal and everything, and I've got 4 patients, and I didn't know whether to go back into it or if I should let it go. So the universe is saying it's not my cup of tea.
It's not your cup of tea. I'm feeling like there could be some legal pursuits on that, and you might want to be careful around that.
Well, I can understand why. It's my passion to grow plants, but I have a bipolar schizophrenic son that got me into this problem to begin with, and as long as he's around, I guess that's why the universe is saying not to do it. If it weren't for his disability there, the universe probably would tell me to do it.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting you bring up the bipolar schizophrenia because those are multiple personalities, obviously, that are going on because of the – your son's extremely sensitive, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Bipolar schizophrenia is just another name for different types of attachments or possessions or other personalities, obviously, that are going on. So there's possibility for correction. I've seen it happen before. So, yeah, definitely keep that out of his sight, and that's definitely not your route.
So do you see anything that would help him get on track? Because that is where my heart is so heavy because he's at a pretty dysfunctional stage right now, and you are totally correct with multiple personalities because many times I'll say to him, who are you? And thinking that he's a different personality, but he will repeat his name, but I can swear I'm not talking to him.
Right, and I've seen it happen before. We've addressed multiple personalities in spirit attachments, and it does happen, my dear. So if offline you want to give me a shout, we can talk about that further.
Okay, very good.
All right,
great,
so
thank you. We've got Angela, we've got a few more calls, so
okay.
We're going to take Kaneen from Illinois, who's on line one.
Kaneen, hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm planning a relocation to California from Illinois.
Okay.
You getting anything?
You're planning on doing this over the next couple of months?
Yeah.
Okay. You have a husband?
No, I'm living with my 91-year-old mother, and she's going to be part of the move.
Okay, because I'm picking up something about a husband with the move. So, are you in the ballpark for a husband?
Yes.
Okay. Well, California's sunny. Your 91-year-old mother seems very excited about it. It seems like a lovely move for her. As far as you're concerned, there's two things that are coming up. One, I'm getting strongly a husband. And some kind of part-time job. Are you looking to be creative out there in California, something new that's coming up?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it's going to be, but I just feel this desire. Yeah,
I'm feeling desire, creativity. I'm feeling something around fashion, clothing. Are you ever done retail, like worked at a clothing store? Are you in the middle?
I feel no.
Like you're are you designing something in your head, or is it designing your new life? Because I feel
I would
passionate.
Say more designing my new life.
Okay, so you're selling most of your stuff there and just packing up and moving.
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel
It's so I can be near my 2 sisters that are out there too.
Okay.
So this is a group venture with them.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. It feels like it's all good. I feel like you do have a new venture. It is brand new, and it feels very creative. And you know, I'm getting spirits saying, take the blinders off, my dear, because you have a tendency to try to control too many things. And I know you're in the market for a husband, so be a little more open to who comes into your life once you get settled. So 2 months to move and probably about another couple months until someone walks into your life.
Okay.
So go now.
Thank you.
Oh, that's funny. Start packing, honey.
Okay, sweetheart, thank you.
Don't pass go.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, we have Craig on line 3 from guess where? California. You looking for a wife?
No, I think Craig.
Oh, ladies, I'm not looking for a wife.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry.
I know, and it's wonderful that we have all that humor. In the entertainment of the unseen, there, you ladies see more of the unseen than I do, and so what's going on?
With you generally, or are you talking outside of everything else that's going on? I feel like you got some heart turmoils going on there, Craig. Direction, I feel like you're a man standing on a post with a whole bunch of arrows going every which way, but towards you. I feel like, wow, you got some stuff going on there, honey.
Yes, and so pick what you can, and that's why I asked the question correctly. What is going on?
Put that
shows
apple
up
on
it's
his
most
head.
Important for me.
Straight at it.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
It's a long list, I'm sure.
Yeah, Craig. I want to start one with health. You've been feeling a little bit under the weather lately.
It feels like the energies are just a little bit too restricting.
Okay. Yeah.
For my expansion, and that's important.
Okay. So when you said feels like the energies are too restricting, when I asked about your wellness, the thing that came to me was your mind, and I do feel like you're actually restricting yourself. Are you?
In what way?
What way? It feels like the flow's coming in, you're getting the information, but you know the next step. It's just that you doubt and question every step that you've been given. I feel like you backtalk or double talk to people that are offering up suggestion, and it's almost like Spirit's been offering them the information through them to get to you, but unless you actually come up with the idea yourself, you don't feel that you are actually worthy to do it. So I feel like the whole universe is talking to you, and you're just not receiving. I feel like you're
so
really
this would
blocked.
Be an old program that I'm running?
Huge old programs. Definitely old programs. I feel like you've been taken out a few lifetimes ago by your abilities or skills to actually project the future or to I feel like you have actually done readings or that you were a guide to some very important people, and when it didn't work out, you were kaputzed out the door, death, gone. I feel like you've been tortured many a lifetimes. Therefore, I feel a lot of heart turmoil. I feel the mindset and the heart are not together. Therefore, you're not communicating, and your soul is in also turmoil. So I also feel like you're compressing or depressing a lot of physical pain within your body, your lower half. Is it like a lower back and leg ache, or what's going on there?
Well, that's been a lifelong thing that's not really noticeable.
Oh.
So realistically, those layers have been cleared. Energies have been removed, progressive integration. So my stages of development are where they're at right now. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to say that there's still residual,
agreed.
There's some depth you want to go into there.
Oh, I know it's deep, but it's not just me. I think it's coming through me.
Okay. So are you grounding yourself and protecting yourself, or do you feel like through a spirit attachment that you're running other programs and it's not just you?
that could be seen more clearly from another perspective that I do not have at this time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You know what? This is, I'm getting a lot of heartache. It's almost like there's an older female that's had a grand influence on you. So,
there's more than one.
there's one leading the pack there, my dear.
Yeah, this one, I do know which one you're talking about. Yes, this one's local. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, everything's a choice, I always say. So at some point when you decide you want to transition, then you can do that, and everything else will help fall into place. So if you need any assistance with that, by all means, give me a show.
Yeah, I know what you were looking at, so thank you for your time, ladies. It's wonderful to talk to you.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks for calling in, Craig. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Craig.
All my love. It's wonderful to hear you ladies on the radio.
Well, thank you. You know, Angela, I want to kind of, you know, jump in. I know the last time that you were on, we did talk about spirit attachments.
Yes.
And obviously that's something that you know, you brought up with Craig. So maybe we might want to do just a little quick review about what that is, because, you know, we have these things and they affect our lives every day.
Yes. The when I made reference
that's okay
to running programs, spirit attachments are these little personalities, or what I call programs, when, you know, they're attacking your computer, if your computer is your actual body. And they, you know, they stream in from searching the web and doing so many things. So just as you would be interacting with numerous people and coming and goings and so on and so forth, what ends up happening is that sometimes at a certain point, whether, you know, it's simple as stubbing your toe or just being, you know, somebody sneaks up behind you and scares you and boo and you're jumping out of your skin.
Right.
You know, just that slight little bit, or it could be trauma and you've had, abuse, whether it's verbal, ongoing, or physical abuse, and they just have this opportunity. They're like the Walking Dead and or ancestors from your past, and they can just slip in, and they become stronger the longer they're with you, and that's when they start running these viruses or these programs. And like the lady had said about her son, you know, she has to ask, who's in there? Who is that? Is it that I'm actually talking to? Because sometimes when you're actually talking to somebody, you can, I have the tendency sometimes to see a face in them that's not really theirs and or outside of them. And or there's something that they will say that, you know, it's not them speaking. So it's very defined sometimes, and other times it just kind of, you know, it jumps right in front of you, and it's like, wow, who is that person?
Okay.
Did that help?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So spirit attachments, it's really about, you know, running the program in your computer, the spyware, to go in and find out who's in there running it. And you know what? Just exit it. Get rid of it.
Right, or get a Mac. We're joking because I'm being Mac-marized here over the last few days. I just got my first Mac, and I'm going to tell you what a delight. I'm loving every second of it. Anyway, the call-in number is 888-815-9756. Give us a call. Angela is available to do readings, and if you're not calling, we're just going to talk.
Yes, because that's fun.
It is fun. So, you know, I want to go back to Craig a little bit, because, you know, I sensed in him some things that I sense in a lot of people that I have connections with from time to time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have an opportunity, I think, that as we enter, you know, we're in the 11th month, and we're getting ready to move into the 11th year.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is really the time that we all need to be focusing on really getting rid of these past programs, whether it's the pillars of time, whether it's our spirit attachments. And we really need to be moving on and really getting rid of this. So before we took some of these calls, I was asking some questions about maybe some techniques and some things that, you know, we could and should be doing on a daily basis. My guest last week, Michelle Karen, you know, we talked about some simple things that she suggested that we can do to help cleanse ourselves and our souls and you know, kind of help release some of the energies. So some comments from you.
Sure. Some of my favorite things to do is to, you know, if I feel a little unlight-sided, is to actually reground myself. And it's really, as far as grounding yourself, it's like that tube that just comes out of your tailbone that goes into the, you know, the center of the earth. And that's all it is. It's your grounding cord. It's if your legs are both the plug that goes into the wall and the third prong is the mm-hmm. part that also grounds you, that's really, there's so much release in there. And anything that you feel like you're being attacked with for the day or just uncomfortable with, you can literally just pain, anything, you can just send it down that grounding cord and just ask to be released from your body. You know, for most people that know the chakras, all seven of them, I like to sit quietly in the morning and just go through a quick cleanse. And partial way through the day as well, just go through a nice quick cleanse. Washing our hands, after I've done clients, I like to go in and give them a good scrub. Even if I haven't actually touched the clients, it's just about, you know, that energy flow with the water. Bathing at the end of the day, nice sea salt baths are awesome, or Epsom salt baths, especially if I've been in a crowd of people. I love that. You know what does it for me, really, is dark chocolate. There's something about dark chocolate and coffee that just grounds me like that. And, you know, well, that's one of my weak spots. And dark chocolate, it's good for you. So there's no qualms about that. But I love my coffee, too.
Because, you know, I mean, we talk about this. And, I mean, this is usually a very anxious time. Or a lot of people do get anxious around the holidays because, you know, we do have family that we're, you know, having to contend with that are either coming in town or we're traveling or we're trying to, you know, do the gift giving and, you know, trying to get the best deal. And even in the latest, you know, the last few years, you know, everybody's been having, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people have been having some issues financially and, you know, it really does bring up some anxiety, and I know that you know, I don't have a whole lot of what a lot of people have, and it's a very anxious time of year.
Yeah.
Is anybody there?
No, I was just, I don't know, for some reason your mic sounded like it was fading all of a sudden. It is a very anxious time of year, and, you know, we have a tendency, retailers might not like this, but we have a tendency to spend way too much money
right.
on certain things when we could be giving so much more of our time. And, you know, it's the quality of time, and that's important. I remember, I don't know why I want to tell this story, but I remember a few years ago, well, it was more than a few years ago now, but towards the end, just before my mom had passed and then my father had passed 8 months later, I kept getting very ill. Like I would have a bad cold or chest infection just before Christmas. It always seemed to, for 2 years in a row, I had been ill. And usually it's about, you know, chest colds, deep emotional letting go. Of course, sore throats are all about speaking your truth. And it was within 6 months of that Christmas that I started to get sick that my mom passed. And the following Christmas, my dad had been ill and I couldn't go see him because I was sick. And then he had passed in February. So, you know, not only were they releasing, but I was releasing as well. And it's interesting how you know, it's always that time of year towards the end of the year that, it comes to literally an end. You know, it's fall back and really examine what's going on. But, you know, spending time with people, the quality of time and quantity of time is really, really important.
You know, I agree with you there. And you know, the holidays have become, you know, a little bit too commercialized and in so many ways that we lose track of really what the holidays are all about. And, you know, I thought maybe last year that I was seeing a change in how people were looking at the holidays and, you know, doing more of what you're talking about. But I'm beginning to wonder this year if, you know, we might not be going back to some of our old habits.
Well, I kind of agree with you, Susan. I'm watching kind of the economy around me and people talk and people running out getting gifts in October before Halloween. And it's exhausting just to hear it. And it's unfortunate a little bit. I personally don't do my Christmas shopping till December. So, and, you know, I try to keep it short and sweet and and honor that person that I'm purchasing for and make it quality, really. And, you know, I do try to limit the funds just because I know that they don't expect to purchase, to have the big purchase so much as they want me there, they want me to show up. And, you know, if a gift is optional, and it works both ways. So really it's the time and what you do. A lot of great gifts over lunch or a breakfast is always awesome.
You know, I agree with you there. You know, I mean, one of the things that I think that we talked about in my last week's show with Michelle is, you know, actually getting rid of things. And, you know, I've gotten to the point where obviously there are a few things that I want and I need. I need, you know, something to run my business better.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's just really not a whole lot more that I really need, you know, until my sheets get too holy or.
Exactly.
you know, with two dogs, they tend to get holy sometimes. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm realizing in my life that I need less and less. In fact, before the show, I had to run over to the boat broker because one of the things I decided to do is get rid of my boat, right, which they're closing as we speak.
Wow.
So, you know, it's you know, a lot of things that we felt like we had to have during periods of our lifetimes.
Yes.
And I went through a period in the 2000s, early 2000s, where, you know, I just, you know, wanted this, I wanted that, and I went out and I bought this and I bought that. And then at the end of the day, I realized, really in the last few years, that that's not what I wanted at all. And so I've been unloading this stuff as fast as I can because it's not the things anymore.
Well, you know, as we change, the things that we collect are different, and you know what? I have to agree. I am totally giving stuff away to the local charities these days. What doesn't fit, what I don't use, might as well go somewhere else.
Exactly. And, you know, they say, and one of the things that I know that I've heard many, many times is that, you know, the more that you give, the more abundance that comes back to you. And what you're doing is releasing space and, well, you know, an energy that's been surrounding you that basically serves no purpose anymore in your life, you know, back to the universe so that you can have the things that are important to you now. I mean, as we grow older, you know, health is important. Some sort of security is important.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the things, I mean, the things.
It can be a clutter. I find, you know, just cleaning out your closet, unpacking things that have been sitting in there and going, oh, my goodness, why am I even holding on to this? I feel I pack up a few boxes or a few bags and take some. I feel like I've lost weight just by doing it because it's things that you're holding on to that you don't even know that you're collecting that energy. As soon as you release them, I always feel at least 5 or 10 pounds lighter, whether I am physically or not. It's still the whole concept.
You know, it's interesting you bring up weight loss, because I started losing weight last year, actually releasing a spirit attachment. It was my mother that was hanging on to me for dear life, so it seemed, for 18 years. In any event, once I released that, the weight just started to come off. Now, granted, I'm working at it, but it became a not so hard working at it.
Yeah.
And I was able to keep the weight off through the summer, even though I wasn't following my plan, and started up again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, you know, once you make the decision to start releasing,
yes,
it really does release.
Well,
we've got another – excuse me?
I was going to say, you're not eating for two.
Well, I don't know. There might have been 3 or 4 or 5 of them. If we start adding them up, that was the primary one. That's funny. We got another call, Angela.
Okay.
We've got Nan from Indiana on line 2. Hi, Nan.
Hi, Susan.
Hey, Nan.
I'm still laughing with you there. I've been going through a lot of changes with trying to clear out, and what you're saying makes so much sense to me right now. I'm getting ready mm-hmm. for my second Saturn return. I'm anticipating retirement. I'm busily doing genealogy and other things, trying to learn tarot. What do you see for me coming up in maybe the next 6 months or so?
Actually,
as far as which direction I should go?
Actually, Nan, I see a change coming up over the next couple months. I feel like probably into the second week of January, there's going to be a bit of a reload for you. I feel like you're energetically just not on top of your game right now, though. I feel like the genealogy kind of drags you down. I also get a strong essence of your mother around you. And it's really weird because I feel like she's in transition. Is she with us or not with us? Because I can't. She's
not with us, and she's been gone for about 4.5 years.
Okay, because she feels very strong around you. Are you feeling like you're running patterns from her? Because I feel like, you know, you're kind of like the homemaker doing what she did, but not really doing what you want to do. Does that feel right to you?
At times, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of like she's in and out. That's why I can't. It's like she's not there, but she is there. And it's like when you start to sense her, she disappears. It's actually very interesting because you seem to run a lot of patterns of hers, and it's causing you to not want to make the decisions that are right for you in your life, and you feel like you're falling back on something that would have happened 40 years ago, which is not in our present time. So I really feel like you're living somewhere back there in the past.
Okay.
And I want to jump in, Nan. How long have you been doing genealogy?
Oh, since 1976.
Okay. A little bit longer than I. You know, one of the things, and I can't remember, Angela, if it was with you or another guest. When I first started doing genealogy, I started having panic attacks.
No, that's really.
I am almost convinced that those of us who do genealogy and who focus, you know, we're bringing these people and their spirits down when we're working on our genealogy. And, you know, we need to clear ourselves sometimes from time to time, because they can hold us back and they can cause us to have, you know, some interruptions in our own lives. I mean, because whenever you're working, and I find this as a genealogist, when you're working on someone, you really are attaching in a way to their spirits. And if you don't find ways to disconnect yourself, then they hang on too. And this goes back to the show that Angela and I did a couple weeks ago, which is on my website, if you didn't hear it, about spirit attachments. And I think genealogists are, as well as mediums and people who deal with anybody that deals with dead people,
Yeah. And
put it that way.
It's got,
I think, have
so,
the spirit attachment.
That's so appropriate because the two lines that I've had breakthroughs on in the past 2 months have both been on my mother's line, which she was very interested in. And I've told people, I said, she's down here guiding me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so I probably just let that go into areas of my life that I didn't intend.
And if that's what it feels like. It kind of feels like it's bled into other areas that weren't necessarily open to. But what happens is they like it, they see it, and it is an opening for them.
Oh, okay. And then there's some that don't like it. And
that's true.
What they do to you.
They turn you around to want you to run their patterns and go their way.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
And I mean, that's why this the name of the show is entitled Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect, because we, no matter what we think, even if we don't do genealogy, like Nan and I do genealogy, but we still do genealogy because we talk about our mothers and our fathers and our grandparents. And, when we're around for the holidays, we talk about, did you know that so-and-so is the second cousin of so-and-so? And we're always connecting Facebook with relatives and trying to figure out contacts, whether we have a real interest in genealogy or not.
Mm-hmm.
So genealogy really is something that's very prevalent and very important because in this area, because when we are talking about someone or we're looking up someone or we're working on a particular line, whether it's your own line or as I do, I have a fairly sizable caseload that, I have some cases where, I just have to put them down. They're just too heavy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What do you do?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call.
You're quite welcome, Nan.
Okay.
I kind of do something very simple is, at the end of the day, I just do a little meditation. I just tell them to go away.
Oh.
I said, I'm done with you.
Okay.
And when I'm ready for you, I will call for you. And then that's kind of how I do it. It's kind of a little strange thing. But, when I'm ready to work on them. And it's interesting when I do that is I can sit down at the computer and have absolutely no idea who I'm going to work on and what line I'm going to work on. And I'll just say, okay, where am I going? And, if there's somebody that wants to come through, I will tell you they will come through. They will solve my problem in a matter of minutes.
And, that is an awesome gift in itself because most people are sitting down racking their brain and doing all kinds of, research and whatnot. And you just have this gift to be able to tap in and fill that line because they're going to direct you, whereas not everyone gets to do that. So, that's awesome.
But it doesn't happen every time. I mean, some of them don't want to talk to me.
No, some probably don't. You're right.
And so, those get a little bit more difficult. I mean, the ones that and, it happens to me almost every time. If I just clear out everybody and just not even have a game plan on what I want to work on the next day, they will guide me. And those that want to guide me will guide me right where I need to go and very, very short term. Now, does that mean that the records are available that I need to finish? No. But they certainly will give me the guidance that I need to know where to look. So, but they do hang around, and there have been certain cases that have hung around longer than others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, I guess you just have to thank them and say, our time here is done, and go do a quick cleansing and just.
That's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
And then in the morning I call them and, I just really sit down at my desk. I'll do a little meditation. I open up my program and it guides me to the project I'm going to work on. And there I go.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just about having that respect between, the spirits and yourself and just saying, listen, you don't have to come to bed with me. You don't have to come in the shower with me. Let's just meet at the desk when the time is right.
And there you go. You don't have to go party with me.
Exactly. You just ask them to come in and be helpful, and otherwise off they go and off you go. So, it's about having a relationship.
It is, but it has not just to do with genealogy, but it has to do with with our mothers and our fathers and the, you know, the women that, that Craig was hanging on, or was hanging on to Craig, is you just have to say, go away. You know, this is my time. I need, and it doesn't have to be real special. I do it in real simple ways. I mean, sometimes I just, you know, look up because I can feel them and just shh, go away. Just like I talk to my dog.
Yep.
Go away.
Yep. And sometimes that's exactly what you can do. Other times, I know that there has been more difficult times, and sometimes we'll need assistance with that. But it's just as simple as just having a relationship and just allowing for whatever to happen to when it happens.
It really is. And, I mean, these are the things that I've learned, you know, really over the last few years since I've really gotten back involved in the spiritual side of my life and reattaching to, you know, my soul and my spirit again, you know, that I lost, you know, contact with over a period of time, and even more so after, you know, my near-death event. But we do have this ability within us to do things really quite easily.
We do.
We just have to understand what we do, and it's no different than, you know, talking to a kid or talking to a dog or talking to, you know, anybody. Is you give them respect, you thank them, and you tell them to go away.
Well, yeah. Simple little rules. I you know, it's funny because I find more and more business people around me lately are starting to wake up, and you know, through the ethers or the information that the influx that they're opening up to, it's I'm getting a lot more curious conversations, and it's just been really interesting how the universe is really, and all the people, you know, are starting to really wake up and be more in the flow. And it's a great time. It's really, really an awesome time.
You know, and you know, I don't understand, I just hit my microphone, why more people are not doing it, but I think a lot of it has to do with this battle that I think we all have, and a lot of it mostly due to insecurities, I think, than with arrogance, is the separation of the ego and the spirit.
Belief systems, struggles within their own mind, the ego, the strains, all of it, and especially belief systems and learned behaviors where, you know, it's what we're taught. And sometimes you just have to shake it off and say, you know, no more.
And, you know, it is so interesting, Angela. I think when I had you on the call and we were talking about how I woke up one day and I said, oh, my God, I got off track, had to get back on track. I want you to know within a few days I got an offer on my boat. I mean, it's, you know, unbelievable that when you, and the other thing that I think is very important is, and this is one of the hardest things that I've had to learn to do, is to not have an outcome in mind.
Yeah, no attachments.
And that is an attachment that we all have to get rid of, because I'm going to tell you, the minute I decided I was not going to have any outcome, you know, this boat's been on the market for 2 years.
Yeah. Wow.
2 years.
And the minute you made that decision, kaboom.
I'm telling you, and it's just like been that like that for the last 3 to 4 weeks, kaboom, kaboom, kaboom.
Yeah.
And I just basically said, okay, no outcome. You know, everything is perfect. Everything is good. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to let things happen at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a heck of a better way to live.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's when you say that, a few weeks ago we went through the 11/11 gates, which is, you know, we're already into 2011. We're ending the 2010, and it is all about new beginnings, and it is about new. I always say 11/11 are like the pillars. You know,
right.
It's like you walk through them, and on the other side is all grace and. And that's where we all need to be, grace and gratitude, and respect one another. So, you know, I think that is a huge push forward as we go through the next month into 2011, and it's going to be an awesome ride. So for those that want to get on board, now is the time. Just say, I'm in. You know, I'm here. I am.
There you go. And you're going to love this. I had to get my car inspected and my registration renewed.
Yeah.
Guess what my stickers say?
1111.
Both of them. So it's just been, I just said, oh, look at this.
You're on a ride.
I'm riding and I'm enjoying this ride. So we'd like everybody to join this ride. Angela, how do people get a hold of you?
Sure. My website is www.angelahornstudio.com. I can be reached by Skype, Angela Horn 27, or you can call me, 905-852-2601.
There you go. Well, I think we're running out of time. I'm surprised we haven't gotten the cut from the producer. But in any event, for all of those celebrating Thanksgiving, I want to wish everybody a happy holiday. We want to wish everybody, you know, a lot of gratitude for the things and to think about the things that we do have rather than the things that we don't have. And we will see you next week, next Tuesday. This is Susan King, where genealogy and spirit connect.
You have been listening to Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect with Susan E. King. Each week, we will focus on the spiritual journey of connecting ourselves with our ancestors. Join us every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific right here on BBS Radio. For upcoming show information, you can visit Susan's website at www.susaneking.com.